receive the word, and Pastor Ken, what's his last name?
Price.
Kenneth Price. I knew it had something to do with money, just because he's a prosperous man. Prosperous man.
Hallelujah. Thank
you, brother. Bless us.
Hallelujah. Good morning. Oh, it's working now. It is definitely good to be here. If you've got your Bibles, turn to Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43, verses 18 through 19. If you've been here for a few Sundays, you would have heard this scripture, or at least verse 19. We're starting in verse 18. It says, "Do not call to mind the former things or ponder things of the past. Behold, I will do something new. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? I will even make a roadway in the wilderness, rivers in the deserts." And today I want to talk to you about this new thing and how to embrace it. So let's pray. Father, thank you for this time that we hear from you, Father. We as your children need to hear from you in these times, Father. And we thank you that your Holy Spirit is, in fact, here and present to lead and guide us into all truth, Father, that there is clarity of your word this morning, Father, that every single person here and all of those watching live stream, Father, that you speak clearly to them, Father, and that there will be fruit that remains in their life because of the word this morning, Father, that your kingdom will be enlarged, that your kingdom will be encouraged, your kingdom will be strengthened, the people of your kingdom, Father. So thank you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Y'all have heard this. I will do something new. Now it will spring forth. It's a word that has been presented to our body in various facets as we're talking about go this morning. Well, one of the several things that God has brought to my attention, I'm going to share with you along those lines. And before you even get to God doing something new, notice what he says in verse 18. Do not call to mind the former things. And when it's talking here about calling to mind the former things, it's referring to some of those things that have been done to you. It's important that we understand this in context, because if you flip over, we're still going to be in Isaiah, but if you go three more chapters to Isaiah 46, verse 9 through 10, it seems to be saying something different. He says here, "Remember the former things long past, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is no one like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things which have not been done, saying my purpose will be established, and I will accomplish all my good pleasure." So what's the difference here in chapter 46 and verse 43? In chapter 43, he is dealing with and talking about the oppression and captivity that his people have gone through. And he says, look, you've got to forget about those former things. And yet when it comes to the Lord and the things that he's done, you've got to remember the former things. Do y'all see that? We have to make note of the things that God has done. Because he says, even in chapter 46, verse 9, I am God. There is no other. There is no one like me. And I like verse 10, declaring the end from the beginning. We think that our lives, everything is just unfolding by chance. And yet we've got scripture that says he's declared everything from the beginning, our end from the beginning. And it says here, from ancient times, things which have not been done, saying, my purpose will be established, and I will accomplish all my good pleasure. It's a good word for me. Because it's not my purpose, or I'll say it this way, it's not Kenneth's purpose or Kenneth's good pleasure. It's God's purpose that will be done in my life. It's God's good pleasure that will be done in my life. It's the same for you. There was I was in Bible study this morning, and Sister Tara was sharing and talking, and I wrote this down. She said, it's all about him and his purpose. It's all about him and his purpose. The life that you have, the life that I have, it's all about giving glory to our Father. In fact, let's turn over a couple more chapters to Isaiah chapter 65. Verse 16 through 17, and I'll show you another scripture that points us out even clearly. Isaiah chapter 65, verse 16 through 17, because he who is blessed in the earth will be blessed by the God of truth. And he who swears in the earth will swear by the God of truth, because the former troubles are forgotten, and because they are hidden from my sight. The former troubles are forgotten, and they are hidden from my sight. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things will not be remembered or come to mind. If I could say it this way, forget what the devil did to you and remember what God did for you. This is how we are to live our life. We've talked earlier to some length about how the past can hold you back if it wasn't pleasant. If it wasn't pleasant, we can lay hold of it and be caught up in a place where God has not called us to be. If there's things in your past that are pleasant that God has done for you, that can actually propel you forward. It just depends on what we're going to meditate on. And when we get to, we just looked at Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18 through 19, and it's interesting, before God even talks about, behold, I do a new thing, he gives us instruction, because in order for us to receive this new thing, we've got to lay hold or let go of some other things, right? Isaiah 43:19, do not call to mind the former things or ponder things of the past. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 42. Verse 9. Talking about those former things again. Behold, the former things have come to pass. Now I declare new things. Before they spring forth, I proclaim to you, or I proclaim them to you. I like this. In verse 9, again, it's talking about some, we'll just call them difficulties that may have come in your life. It says they've come to what? They didn't come to stay. They didn't come to defeat you. They didn't come to destroy you. In fact, there's a passage of scripture in, and I'm not going to quote it right, but in, I think it's in 1 Corinthians, that talks about all the things that we go through, but we're not destroyed. We're not in despair. We're not a people without hope. That though all these things come against us, we still stand. That God has given us the ability to withstand. Behold, the former things have come to pass. Now I declare new things. Before they spring forth, I proclaim them to you. I love this. God lets us know of things ahead of time. He lets his people know that. Isaiah chapter 46, I'm sorry, 48. Isaiah 48, verse 6. You have heard, look at all this, and you, will you not declare it? I proclaim to you new things from this time, even hidden things which you have not known. I like this. Even hidden things which you have not known. So as we're getting into and amplifying this word that God has given us, Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18 through 19, he's talking about these new things. Understand that the new things may be new to you, but not necessarily new. Because he just said here in this particular passage of Scripture, even hidden things which you have not known. God has things that are hidden in plain sight. That just baffled me. And there were some things that I realized that I've come to know in the last 3 or 4 months that there have been some things that have been hidden from me in plain sight that have been opened up to me. I'm like, wow, Lord, I did not see, you know, I did not see this. As Pastor Michelle said, I didn't see this coming. I was talking to a dear friend, and they told me about how scientists, they just discovered a new planet. A new planet. And so, of course, you know me, I got to know stuff. So I went to read about it. Well, the story is even more impactful. It was a 17-year-old dude, 17-year-old boy, interning at NASA. And he was looking at the computer data, and I've got the article if you want to read it. But he was looking at the data and noticed there were some irregularities in the numbers, data and stuff. And so come to find, he says, hey, I want y'all to check this. Come to find out, they found a planet bigger than Earth, with two suns revolving around it, or it's in orbit, or something like that, or revolving around the two suns. Bottom line is, they never knew this. Hidden in plain sight. We think, you know, we got all this going on, and we've got this tech. And here is a 17-year-old dude, 3 days in his internship, discovering a new planet. You think youngsters aren't important? He's already been interviewed. He's already been talked about. He's been on different shows. But I want us to understand that God, in his infinite wisdom, has always known and knew that planet to be there. And there's things in your life that God has already known them to be there that we think we're discovering. And it's not. We're coming into this new thing. It's new for us, but it's always been there. Isaiah. Well, before we get there, I want to go back to, yes, Lord. Isaiah 42:9, something I want to make sure we're catching. The very last part of that, so we're talking about these new things. And the very last part of verse 9 says, before they spring forth, I proclaim them to you. Did y'all see that? Isaiah chapter 48, verse 6. If you go there, Isaiah chapter 48, verse 6. He says, I proclaim to you new things from this time, even hidden things which you have not known. God lets us know of things to come before we even see them. And we just saw that in the last couple of scriptures that we just read. It's more emphatic in our new covenant. In John chapter 16, verse 13, it says that the Holy Spirit comes to lead us and guide us into all truth, and he lets you know of things to come. So yes, there are new things, and yet God lets us know of those things before they're here. Hallelujah. Isaiah 43:18. I want to make sure that I'm covering and hitting on some things. Thank you, Father. All right, Isaiah 43:18 again. Let me turn there. Thank you, Father. Do not call to mind the former things or ponder things of the past. Behold, I will do something new. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? I will even make a roadway in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. God asks a very important question here that I want to make sure we don't miss. Verse 19, he says, will you not be aware of it? Will you not be aware of it? And he shared this with me that even though God is doing a new thing, you and I can miss it. It's possible for God to be moving miraculously on the earth and for his people not to even notice, or not to even receive it, or for them not to even partake of it. And so there is some responsibility on our part to lay hold of and receive the things that God has for us. Even though God is doing a new thing, you and I can miss it. I said it earlier, the biggest hindrance to the new thing God has for you and I is you and I calling to mind what negatively happened before and pondering on it. If we're so focused on the hurt, the pain, the failure, we can miss God. We've got to get our eyes, our focus on Yeshua. Scripture in New Covenant tells us that we are to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. If that's scripture, then the enemy's job is to steal the word. So his job is to keep you from looking at the author and finisher of our faith, who is Jesus. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 19, the very end of that says, I will even make a roadway in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. I have definitely gotten a lot from this over the years because to me, it speaks about the God doing the impossible or God bringing to possible things that were impossible. Him doing things that are just not possible. We see scripture after scripture that says with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And so I saw that in here. 43 verse 19, the very end of that, and then God just opened something up even bigger to me in this regard. And he took me to Psalm chapter 78, verse 40. Psalm chapter 78, verse 40. Where are you? David, when he penned this psalm, he writes here, how often they rebelled against him in the wilderness and grieved him in the desert. And this is what God had shared with me in relation to Isaiah chapter 43, verse 19, that even in places where you may have rebelled against God, he makes a roadway to get out. Even in those places, he says, I make a roadway. There is no place that you or I can get to where God cannot reach us. You know, many people talk about things that they go through in their life and they reach a dark place, and some of us have been there. And God says, I will always have a road out. You are never stuck in that particular place. And he goes on to say, you know, in Psalm 78:40, how often they rebelled against him in the wilderness and grieved him in the desert. And what he'd share with me was, even at times where you may have grieved the Holy Spirit, he can provide rivers to cleanse your conscience and refresh you. That's a good word of deliverance, of restoration, of being right with God, a good word of reconciliation, that it doesn't matter what you and I have been through, God can still cleanse, restore, and put you back to where you need to be in him. We see this even in New Covenant. If you look at Romans chapter 5, verse 8, says, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That is, of course, the good news of the gospel. If I can say it this way to encapsulate Psalm 78:40, it says, while you and I rebelled against him. Now, we don't think of ourselves ever as rebelling against God. So I'm going to use a different word, right? When you and I just simply disobeyed God, he still demonstrates his love toward us. Think about that. Every time that we simply, and I say simply, disobey God, he demonstrates his love toward us. When you and I grieve the Holy Spirit, he still demonstrates his love toward us. Whatever you and I have done, good or bad, God continuously demonstrates his own love toward us. He, another scripture, Paul says he's married to whom? The backslider. That's the love that God has. That is the love, and it's that love that causes change in us. He who's been forgiven much does what? Loves much. That is good stuff for me. Do not call to mind Isaiah 43:18 through 19. Do not call to mind the former things or ponder things of the past. Behold, I will do something new. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? I will even make a roadway in the wilderness, rivers in the deserts. It says here, you know, what are you and I to do in order to be aware of or experience this new thing in this new season of life that we're in? You know, I look at this passage, and that's one of the questions that I have. We talked about this new thing that he's, and I'm turning back to it, the new thing that he's doing. Well, what is this new thing? I can tell you that we may not necessarily know now, but we will know in time. So you don't have to necessarily be concerned, I want to know what this new thing is. You will. Because God says, and we gave you scripture after scripture, and even in John chapter 16, verse 13, that he lets you know of things to come. So we know what's coming. We know what God is doing, or the people of the house know what God is doing. He's got his prophets in the house to let us know ahead of time. And he, of course, lets us know by his Spirit. So what are we to do in order to be aware? Because he also asked this question, will you be unaware when it happens? We talked about what could keep us from experiencing, and that could be dwelling on the past, being stuck in failures, how we may have missed it, different things like that. What are you and I to do to experience it? And I have the answer, which is great. I have the answer, what he gave me. Continue or start doing what you're supposed to be doing. It's simple as that. Continue or start doing what you are supposed to be doing. Because you notice in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18 through 19, it says that he would do a new thing. This is God's responsibility. Our responsibility is to do what we're supposed to be doing. We don't, I'll just leave it at that. That's how he put it, so I'm going to leave it at that. Sometimes you and I think that because God is doing a new thing, that we're to do a new thing. Let that sit. We're still supposed to be devoted to prayer. Yep. You know, I'll ask this tongue-in-cheek because it's how I received it. How many of y'all, you know, I see most of you brought your Bibles. How many of y'all on January 1, 2020, noticed that your Bibles changed? Anybody have a Bible that's changed? The scriptures changed? You were given different things? It's the same Bible, right? It's the same words, same things that we're supposed to be doing. We're still supposed to be devoted to prayer, as scriptures tell us. We're still supposed to be celebrating the victory. We're still supposed to be assembling with other believers. You heard that earlier today. We're still supposed to be honoring our father and mother. Just threw that in there. Honor your father and mother. We're still supposed to use faith and patience to inherit the promises. So our job, in order to experience or receive the new thing that God has for us, is to continue to do what we're supposed to be doing. You know, people make at this time, or have made, New Year's resolutions. And the most common is to become healthy, right? That's the most common to do. Well, guess what? In order to be healthy, you're still supposed to drink enough water. You're still supposed to get enough rest at night, every night. You're still supposed to eat clean food, right? Now, as of late, I've been trying to eat clean. tell you a funny story as a quick aside. Jennifer had told me that, hey, once you know Preston has donuts, he wants to have donuts with you. I was like, okay, that's a little random. But, you know, I'm eating healthy, but hey, if he's got donuts, and my favorite used to be powdered donuts. I can clean those things out, right? And so he's over, and we were talking about some things, and I mentioned to you that this I thought was random, but we were talking about Father's Day. And I said, well, Preston, Father's Day, you know, it's January. Father's Day is, you know, several months away. It's in June, so we got 5 months. And Preston made this connection. Typically at his school, we did this at Shoreline. When he was at Shoreline, there was donuts with Dad. And so Preston had the donuts because he wanted to have donuts with me. And I said, you know, Preston, you know, Father's Day is in June. And he told me, look, you know, we can have Father's Day any day and every day. So, just okay. So this one time, I'm not going to eat clean, right? I was like, wow, that's. He said, we can have Father's Day any day and every day. And this is from a six-year-old. Think about you. We don't have to wait to celebrate our Father in heaven on special occasion. We can celebrate Father's Day every single day of our life. Moving on, put my glasses on so you don't see the tears. Jeremiah, so what are we doing? Jeremiah chapter 6. Good stuff. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. Like this. Thus says the Lord, stand by the ways and see and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. What I wanted to bring out here, as God has opened it up to me, is this phrase, see and ask for the ancient paths. I just told you that God is looking to do a new thing. And yet the people of God are also looking to do a new thing. And yet what does the scriptures tell us? Go back to do the things that you're supposed to be doing. What is it that you're supposed to be doing? What are the, as I call it, the basic blocking and tackling for those who are caught up in the football playoffs? Got to go back to basic blocking and tackling. You can't win no games if you're not blocking and tackling. And there's things that we are to do as believers in this so-called, I was about to say game of life, but this ain't no game. This is real stuff that we live every single day. And notice that there's a phrase here. It says, see and ask for the ancient paths. And it says at the very end of chapter or verse 16, and you will find rest for your souls. Where have we heard that before? Matthew 11, 28 through 29, right? Jesus himself said, come to me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will, he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. I think I may have butchered that scripture a little bit, but y'all get the picture. That's where we find rest for our souls, coming to Jesus. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If I can say it the way old folks used to say it, ain't nothing changed. Ain't nothing changed. We are still to come to him and find rest for our souls. The scripture says, seek out the old paths. So when I think about this, and this is just my interpretation, the ancient path is still about doing his word. That's what it all comes down to. We are, as a people, still to do his word. And in fact, when you look at Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 29, it tells us in a roundabout way that if you don't follow his word, then you become weary, tired, and exhausted. That's how you end up with burnout. When you look this up in the Strong's Concordance, it's, you know, weary, tired, and exhausted with toil, burdens, or grief. And yet we as a people are taught to cast those cares upon him because he cares for us. This is how we're to handle our situations and problems, is to cast our care upon him and don't pick it back up. It says again in Hebrews, it says, lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily entangles us. We're to cast all this care. And even beyond that, it says that that brethren are to help and be there for one another. encouraging. You just heard it earlier about why assembly is so important. Just that hug, just that greeting, just that encouraging of one another. And it's not all about you. It's not all about me. In other words, it's not all about us just receiving, but there's plenty of times we come to assembly and we're the givers. We're the one encouraging. We're the one teaching. We're the one giving hugs and just being there for people. Not everybody is, I'll say it this way because y'all understand it. Not everybody blasts their mess on social media. I never understood why people will just have meltdowns on social media. I'm like, you realize that, you know, your 400 friends are reading this and they're not all friends, right? The body of Christ, we're supposed to be there for one another. And so when you're going through, definitely be there for one another, but also recognize and understand that not everybody shares their business. And so just because they haven't shared something doesn't mean that they're not going through. And so just because they haven't shared something that they're going through, you can't just assume, well, they don't need encouragement because they look good. People may be smiling, but they're still going through. And so it takes us being in tune with the Holy Spirit to know, Lord, lead me, direct me, so I can be there to encourage my brother and sister. I'll say this. Sometimes you and I think that because God is doing a new thing, that new thing will change us. Sometimes, you know, because God is doing a new thing, we think that Him doing a new thing is going to change us. I just read the passage of Scripture in Psalm chapter 78, verse 40. Let's go back to Psalm chapter 78. And I want you to notice something powerful in here. Psalm chapter 78, let's start with verse 21. If you get a chance, read all of Psalm 78 in light of what we're sharing here this morning. But I'll just start with verse 21. It says, therefore the Lord heard and was full of wrath, and a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also mounted against Israel, because they did not believe in God and did not trust in His salvation. Yet He commanded the clouds above and opened the doors of heaven. He rained down manna upon them to eat and gave them food from heaven. Now let me ask you a question. When God rained down manna from heaven, was that a new thing? All right. Verse 25, man did eat the bread of angels. He sent them food in abundance. 26, he caused the east wind to blow in the heavens, and by his power he directed the south wind. When he rained meat upon them like the dust, even winged fowl like the sand of the seas, then he let them fall in the midst of their camp round about their dwellings. So when God is having quail fall from the sky as food for them to eat, was that a new thing? So they ate and were filled, verse 29, their desire, verse 30, before they satisfied, while their food was in their mouth, anger of God rose against them. So verse 33, he brought their days to an end in futility. Go to verse 41. Again and again, they put God to the test and pained the Holy One of Israel. They did not remember His power. The day when He redeemed them from the adversary, when He performed His signs in Egypt and His marvels in the field of Zoan, and turned their rivers to blood and their streams they could not drink. So we're coming to the plagues in Egypt. When they turned the rivers to blood, was that a new thing? That was a new thing, right? He sent them swarms of flies which devoured them, and frogs which destroyed them. And again, this is coming against the Egyptians who were holding the Israelites captive. Was this a new thing? He gave their crops to the grasshopper and the product of their labor to the locust. He destroyed their vines with hailstones and their sycamore trees with frost. He gave over their cattle also to the hailstones and their herds to bolts of lightning. Was this a new thing? Are y'all getting the picture? He sent upon them his burning anger, fury and indignation and trouble, a band of destroying angels. He leveled a path for his anger, smote all the firstborn in Egypt, first issue their virility in the tents of Ham. All of this, and yet, what did they do in verse 40? It says they still rebelled against him and grieved him in the desert. We think that new things are going to change us. New things do not change you. And I'll just cut to the chase. The new you changes you. It's not about, I'm going to see these new things. The Israelites saw these new things, and that did not change them. The only thing that changes you is the new you that God created you to be. And what you allow to have manifest in your life by the power of God. I've given you, whenever you get a moment, just read through Psalm 78. The new things did not change them. You know, and I realize, and I had written this down, sometimes we've got to do something new because we're stuck in a rut or we get to a plateau. But understand, that's about changing us. That doesn't change God. It causes us to be more open to what God is doing. It causes us to be more creative, to recognize more. Y'all know you get to change furniture at your house, redo some things, change your do, get your nails done, go and do this or that, or just do something out of the ordinary. That doesn't change God. It changes your perspective. It allows you to start receiving and looking for the newness that God has for you. And I want us to understand and grasp and see that because this is what God is after, us opening up. The Israelites did not change. In fact, it says they rebelled even more and they grieved even more. I was just got back last evening. I went to North Carolina to see a client and had a good time there. Was there for a short period of time, but just being on his land, he's got about 30 acres. And so we're just walking in. Y'all, in Austin, in the houses that we live in, we don't have no 30 acres. You know, you and I, we live, in houses that are right next to each other. Well, some of us. Some of y'all got your land. And it was nice walking the property. God moves in Carolina just like he does here in Austin. You understand. And I'm walking with him, his black Labrador, and just walking the property and just in amazement of God and his creation and the things that God is doing. And, of course, he's talking to me, and I'm half listening because I'm getting things also. So I've got two people talking to me at the same time. He's talking, God's talking, and so I'm talking back and forth with both of them. I can do a little multitasking. But what was interesting, or what I guess what I'm trying to get at, is that being there was a different perspective. And a lot of times we need that different perspective because it opens us up to what God is doing and saying. It did not, my trip did not change God. It changed me. You understand? The new things that you do does not change God. It changes you and causes you to be open. Science will even tell you that every time you're learning something new, it changes the neurological patterns in your brain. Every time you learn something new. And you can even watch this happening, like literally, when you're with your kids. And just watching them learn something new, and you just see this change happening with them, and they get excited, and they want to, you know, just all of a sudden they've got this new pattern because their frame of reference has just expanded. They were living in this amount of territory, and now it's expanded to this amount. And so I, all that to say that that time, and it's just life for you and the new things that you experience, it changes you and causes you to be more open to what God is doing. Close with these couple of things as God shared them with me. God is doing a new thing, but as people of God, we are to continue to do the old thing. You know, the new thing is seen through the old ways of devoting ourselves to prayer, spending time pressing into God, celebrating the victory, continuously coming and assembling ourselves with one another. He said, it's not the new thing that changes you, it's the new you that changes you. Let's endeavor to be spirit-filled believers who are fully aware of what God is doing and be a part of it. If you go back to Psalm chapter 78, we were talking about the ancient paths, right? I will close with this. It's my second or third close. Psalm chapter 78, we just read through a lot of that, but let me back up to an ancient path that makes it just so succinct and simple. Psalm 78, verse 7, here's what God was after, that they should put their confidence in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. It's as simple as that. Pastor Richard.
Yesterday, awesome word, brother. Thank you for that. I don't know if you all recall, but there's a gentleman that's associated with Zero Gravity Outreach that speaks. He speaks into my life. He speaks into our ministry's life. And when he drops little nuggets, it's always a clarion call that God is speaking, because they don't come a lot. And they come at the opportune moments when you know that God is speaking something. So in light of what my brother shared this morning, I want to share with you what Prophet Steve Watkins, he just sent me this yesterday morning at like 10:45 in the morning. But in light of what Brother Ken shared, I want you to listen to this. It says, note of wisdom, I find that what distinguishes people of achievement and accomplishment can be identified as follows. Number one, achievers, they act. Number two, they act without procrastination. Number three, while not always making the right choices, they always make decisions right. And number four, God can move when you make a decision and you act on it. I say choose wisely, but choose and live with the choices that you make, remembering that you can most always make adjustments as you go. But remember, God is on your side. Always ask for his direction, his leadership, his guidance, but you have to act. We've been hearing go. Believing that as you go, he will direct you and that he is big enough and smart enough to adjust, correct, and guide you. But don't ever forget, God always, always, always loves you unconditionally and has your best interests at heart. So as you go, you will hear deep inside that small voice whispering or knowing that says, this is the right way, walk in it. Not in your head, but deep inside your spirit. As the scripture says, the just, God's born sons and daughters, shall live by faith. This is what the Lord is saying, just as our brother has commended us. the things that God has put in us, let's rest in his purposes and walk out the fulfillment of the plan that he has for each one of us. It's big, church. It's big. And we just have to rest in him knowing that he's bringing it to pass. Amen?
Amen. Praise God. That was sermon number two. Here comes sermon number three. No, I'm not going to do that to you. Okay, maybe just a little bit. There's a saying among motorcycle riders, and that is, kick stands up. And you know what that means. That means that it's time to move. And you know, if you just put your kickstand up and you stay there, you've got to hold that bike up. Otherwise, you're going to mess it up. But when you start rolling, it stays up all by itself. So it's time to put the kickstand up. Generally, that term is used like if you're scheduled to meet somewhere and you're going to start your ride at 7 o'clock, you say, kickstand's up at 7. That means that's when we're leaving. That's when we're going. But you can't. If you're having to hold that bike up, now my bike is about 700 pounds or so. If I'm standing there, it will balance okay. But once it starts rolling, I don't have to do anything. You just sit there and make sure that it stays in a straight line. But the weight is off of me. But when I'm stopped, and that kickstand is up, I'm having to hold it up. I'm having to balance it. And that can get very tiring. Good. Excellent. Well, yours was excellent, too. Mine was good, too. Praise God. Praise God. It's been good to be in the house of the Lord. We want to be a blessing to Brother Kenneth. He searched out lots of scriptures and brought to us, delivered a good word, and fed us well this morning. We want to honor him and be a blessing to him. So we're going to use, again, this bucket right over here. You can, after we dismiss, you can come up and be a blessing with some material stuff. Money, that's what I'm talking about, money. But stand with me. Father God, I thank you for this time that we've come together, that you've allowed us to come and study your word. You've allowed us to come and to be in your presence, Father, because you said that where we praise you, where we exalt you, where we lift you up, that you would inhabit those praises. So we know that we have been with you this morning. We thank you, sir. We thank you, Lord, that you have deposited things in us today that we will use for the rest of our lives, that we have been changed because we have received the word. And I thank you, Father, that that word falls in good ground of our heart and that it grows and produces much fruit. Thank you, Father. Holy Spirit, let that word be truth to us. Let it become truth to us and become a part of our lives. Father, we endeavor to be obedient to every word that has been spoken. We will do what you have called us to do, and we will be obedient to your love, to your direction. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Now let's just praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We celebrate you, mighty God. We lift you up. We exalt you. And we thank you that you are our God. You are the high and mighty one, and you have our best interest in heart. That you prepare a way for us that we may not even recognize. But, Father, I thank you that it is there. You have already done it, and you release it to us in your time, in your season. Thank you, Father. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Hallelujah. Praise your name. Praise your name. Praise your name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, we've got assembly Wednesday night. 7 o'clock right here. We're going to do it all again. Not the exact same thing, but we'll be doing again. And then next Sunday, we're going to have church again. So all y'all come back and bring somebody with you. We've got more chairs we can put out if we need to. But God is moving. There are things in the works, and we're working on those. Even today, we'll be working on some of the things that we're going to kick off and allow the Holy Spirit to roll us down the road so that we don't have to hold this bike up by ourselves. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Let me bless you. I call you blessed. I say the Lord has blessed you. He has surrounded you with His divine favor. His love encircles you. He bears you up on the wings of angels as you abide in His presence and as you live in the shadow of His love. You are the light of the world, and in the darkness you shine, and the darkness is drawn to the light. They are illuminated and changed by your light. That you are the sweet smelling aroma of the presence of God and the knowledge of God in every place that you go. When you show up, the anointing shows up. God's presence shows up, and you bring change to everything, every circumstance, every situation. You are the agent of change. And you bring change to glorify God and to bring honor to Him. And everything that you put your hand to is blessed and prosperous. There is no lack, there is no want or need, there is no sickness among the people of House of the Lord Fellowship Church, because we are taught of the Lord, great is our peace and undisturbed composure. You are blessed to be a blessing. Share the love of God. You're dismissed.